Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Up next, we have the Lunchtime Doctor, your favorite doctor, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 FM, and of course, the Vibe City 105 FM. Let's waste no time and say good afternoon. Going out to Dr. Sophia Muhammad. Good afternoon, miss.
Good afternoon, Basin. Good afternoon to all those locked in right here on your Lunchtime Doctor. I am Dr. Sophia Muhammad, here to help you dissect those medical challenges, here to add some clarity to some of those concerns and to really move the next steps forward. So let us start without any wasting any time. We know that we're just about already 10 minutes after midday, and we also want to encourage you to share what's on your lunchtime plate. Tell us what lunchtime habit you've learned from this program and share with us your numbers. Here is Base to give us those numbers.
All right, the numbers, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. Hi to those of y'all who will be joining us for the very first time today. And of course, for WhatsApp messages only, 306-1065. As always, feel free to send your messages to our other frequencies and they will forward your questions right here to us. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor.
Now, that was quite a heated conversation on crime earlier on. It is something that brings a lot of anxiety, not just to parents, to those across Trinidad and Tobago. And even after last Friday, we're still having parents concerned about the traumatic effects that the bomb scare occurred and caused to their children. So today we really want to touch on that anxiety, panic attacks. Even up to yesterday, late in the afternoon, a parent called about that their child was having panic attacks post that bomb scare. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that anxiety, the panic attacks, and how you all as parents, the listeners, can help ensure that if a situation, and we pray a situation like that never happen again, but if ever in a crisis situation, how to cope better with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Doctor. No, definitely. Well, I took a trip and coming back on the plane, someone did have a panic attack on the plane. It was pretty bad, very, very scary. I guess there are different levels and different types of, panic attacks. What exactly brings on a panic attack, and how does one know that they are having a panic attack?
So a panic attack is when there is some level of fear, either present or, so we say real or unreal. And the real fear is if you are in a situation that there is, like say there's fire, the unreal, it would be the memory or the trauma of it going back into that space. So is that sudden episodes, and it's not just fear on the whole, but it's intense fear that actually can now trigger a physical reaction. There can, and it's very important to know, there can be an apparent cause or no real danger, but your mind associates the memory of it to danger. So I guess in the case of the person on the plane, they may have had a traumatizing experience on the plane. In my experience, my own personal experience, I've shared this on radio, I've lost my brother by a terrible car accident. And just post that incident, myself sitting in a vehicle trying to drive, I myself had panic attacks because I was on call that night when he came in. So it was easy to associate the memories of his loss, his grief, the accident. And many times there are several things that cause trauma. Loss of life, fear to life is more on the top of the list. But how do we prevent moving forward? One can't stop driving because of a past accident. So that's what we want to talk about. Now, I'd love to know what happened on the plane and how did they bring that person to calm in a situation like that?
Well, luckily, there was a doctor on board, which is, I think it's something that they should always have asked a professional if there's a doctor on the plane. So luckily, there was a doctor on the plane. And the guy, it seems like he was coming to Trinidad for a funeral. He kept calling his father. I think his father died, and he kept calling his father, daddy, daddy, daddy.
Oh my.
And there was another friend who had to actually hold him down, and they took a while to calm him, so that was the most important thing, keeping him calm.
So here's the three things I would say that's most important in a situation of crisis. One, just giving the person that space to be validated. Even if the fear is unreal, just allowing them to ventilate, give that release of the emotions from inside to the external environment. So one, giving them that space of releasing. Two, acknowledging. Three, letting them know they're not alone and there is that support. And then most importantly, is giving them a coping tool just by seating them, grounding them, encouraging them to focus on their breath. And that particular tool that I share all the time is breathe 4, 5, 6. Encouraging the person to have 4 deep breaths on the inhalation, holding it for 5 seconds, and then 6 seconds on an exhalation. That's basically just 10 seconds there. Doing it for about 3 times covers about a minute. In 1 minute, you can bring a person to calm. I'll give you all another example. I was on a phone call and one of my friends, they were lost in a building. They were lost in a building, not in Trinidad, in New York. And they called WhatsApp because they just couldn't, they were confused, they were overwhelmed. Those feelings of confusion and overwhelm is gonna overpower your logical thinking sense. I literally, in that moment, just allowed her to express what she was feeling, bring her to calm, and then try to find areas, even though I'm here in Trinidad, she's in New York, try to find areas that she felt some area of familiarity with, trying to find someone that you may trust. That grounding is so important, bringing to a realization of a place of trust and calm is so important. And while you talked about that a doctor was necessary, not on all trips would there be a doctor. And this is why it's so important that we each know how to help someone in a moment of crisis. I'm sure you recall when there was that earthquake a couple of years ago, especially in Trinidad, and those in the tall buildings felt the shake. There was quite a lot of persons screaming, wanting to jump into an elevator, wanting to get to the bottom, afraid of what's happening next. Knowing how to help persons in crisis can be a crucial skill for just about any scenario.
Nice, of course. Well, thanks to the crew that was on board as well, too. So let's get into your WhatsApp questions. Here's a question similar. This may have seen what he was started having it at first. What is a seizure and how is it caused, a seizure?
So this seizure can happen in both children or in adults, but it's an uncontrolled activity. It's almost like a malfunction between what we call our nerve cells in the brain, the neurons, and your muscles. So your nerve cells in the brain control the electrical activity and the muscles control movement. And if there's a misfire, then you can lead to that seizure. So it's a burst of uncontrolled electrical activity. As in children, we commonly see something called febrile seizures when the temperature, a fever, goes way too high. So over 38.5 Celsius or over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, a baby, anyone less than 6 months can experience a febrile seizure. Seizures can continue on in epilepsy or even in situations of increased stimuli. So when there's hyperstimuli to a child's mind, or even in an adult case where it's not well controlled and there's that misfiring, a seizure can happen.
Okay. Remember, folks, of course, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Good afternoon, Doctor. Wanted to get some information, if possible. Where and how can one get a bone marrow test done through the public healthcare? Please share any contact information you may have. Thank you.
Right. So that one I'll have to definitely let you know. I'll definitely do a little research and get back to you, because I'm not too sure of the public health complimentary or free bone marrow testing. I do know, however, that within the oncology wards, if that bone marrow aspirate, so it's called a BMA is necessary. It can be performed surgically in the oncology wards, be it San Fernando General, Port of Spain, or even St. James, especially in the oncology center. So I'm leaning towards the oncology centers. They're the ones that will provide it in the public health institutions. It won't be a general doctor to be able to recommend that. It certainly would be an oncologist or one of the doctors within the oncology center. Hope that answers your question. But I'll find out some more information as specific as possible to be able to share next week on the program.
All right. Hi, doctor. Every time I push or lift anything heavy, I feel very weak. Is that normal?
So I don't know, one, what your age is and what exactly are you lifting or pushing. But what you're describing, if you're feeling weak after lifting some sort of weight, yes, definitely that's abnormal, because the body can tolerate a certain amount of weights. You can tolerate lifting boxes, you can tolerate lifting, say, weights on a weight resistance program, but it also depends on the muscle usage. So if it is you're trying to pick up a certain box or lifting that box, the muscles of the lower back, if they're not strengthened, then you will feel that sense of weakness. However, repetition, probably engaging in some sort of weightlifting exercise, can certainly strengthen those muscles.
Good afternoon, doctor. I just joined the program a few minutes ago. Is there a difference between a panic attack and an anxiety attack?
Right. Excellent question. It's just about the same, essentially. But with the anxiety attack, it tends to be something that happens where there is real-time fear. The panic attack can be one where there's no perceived danger, but the trauma of it comes about. So there isn't really a major difference between a panic attack or an anxiety attack, because they tend to cause the same level of increased heart rate, shallow breathing, and they can cause where they literally debilitate you and stop you from your actions. A panic attack, however, tends to be a little bit more severe in terms of the reaction the body can be because of that perceived threat, and that's when trauma is associated.
Right. Good afternoon, doctor. I need some advice on blood pressure medication. Should it be taken even if the readings are normal?
Great question. Yes, yes, yes. So a normal reading does not mean don't take your blood pressure medication. And that's what we are utilizing the medication for, to bring you to a state of equilibrium. Let's say you stop your medication at that point in time, then your next reading is not going to be normal. So continue having that concentration or the equivalence of the tablets, the medications in your system to regulate the high blood pressure.
All right, let's get a question here from our friends at Sky 99.5. Good afternoon. Good day, doc. My cholesterol is 244. Is that too high?
Yes, unfortunately. I'm very glad you all know your numbers. That is something we encourage. Knowing your numbers mean you have data, and with data, we can change everything. So a cholesterol value, a total cholesterol value of 244 is indeed way too elevated. But here's some simple things you can do from today, just by starting 10 minutes of exercise. You want to move that to 30 minutes every day, but just by starting 10 minutes of exercise, moderate level exercise, so not just walking, walk with actual little pep in that step, where you're increasing the cardiovascular activity. So you want to get the heart to the aerobic zone. In that aerobic zone, you're going to burn fat. Burn fat means burning cholesterol. So just by starting 10 minutes of exercise, you can reduce your cholesterol. You can also reduce it by what you're eating. And you all know I talk about food being medicine. So watch what you eat, watch the amount of processed foods, and you will see your cholesterol levels dropping.
All right, let's take a call right here. 625-2257. Of course, 627-3223. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
This morning, my pressure was 158. 1:08 over 92.
Hello, miss. Okay. Please listen on the phone. Please listen on the phone, not on the radio. Okay. Yeah. What's your question?
Okay. So all I heard is that she shared the blood pressure value, which was indeed elevated. I don't know what our next part of the question is, but just to all those who are listening, because you all know I like it to know your numbers. What's your normal blood pressure value? The systolic, the top one, should be 120. The diastolic, the below one, should be 80. Yes, it could go a little lower than that. 110 on 70, that's fine. Anything, what's abnormal? Anything over 135 on 85. Before, say a couple of years ago, it used to be 140 on 90, 140 on 95, but they're realizing bringing it down, having tighter control, reduces the complications, the effect on the heart, the effect on the eyes, the effect on kidneys. I wonder, anyone listening here today, do you have any relative that has gone through dialysis, that has had kidney failure? That is one of the complications of high blood pressure, and it's one of the preventable complications. When you have to see, when you endure what a patient has to go through for dialysis constantly, that is enough reason to want to manage your blood pressure consistently, because the extenuating circumstances associated with dialysis is where each day, every other day, whatever days is scheduled for the dialysis, the patient has to come in. We may need to put in tubes. Sometimes the tubes are blocked because the veins seem to falter. Sometimes we need to put in a central access, that's in a stronger vein or even an artery, then connect to the dialysis machine. And kidney dysfunction is one of those complications. Enough reason to manage your blood pressure.
All right, folks, good afternoon. Once again, you listen to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question. Doctor, if it is you experience a pain from your arm, come up to your left shoulder, and then in your chest, for 5 minutes or so, and then it went away. And after that, during the day, you could have felt like it was like muscle cramps within the same area. Is that heart attack?
So any sort of cramping pain in the chest, does we must rule out a heart attack. Now, I'm happy you're speaking here, so it may not have been you've experienced a severe one. It may be the lighter version, what we call angina. But yes, if you're experiencing that episode of chest pain, then it will get worse, where it can lead to the heart attack type pain. Now, a heart attack type pain is when there's the clots within the arteries of the heart. What you may be experiencing may be a clot in the arterioles, the smaller blood vessels of the heart. When it hits the big one, the main artery, that's when it completely occludes or blocks out oxygen supply, blood supply to the heart. So if you're experiencing the warning signs, please get it checked out. Because that pain you describe within the arm, coming upwards, going to the chest, or even vice versa, that certainly is cardiovascular type pain.
All right, Dr. Vawasa, they said that you can take an aspirin for any heart pain or, you know, prevention.
So in correct base. Mm-hmm. In that moment, let's talk about the aspirin. I believe every household should have a bottle of aspirin. Not your normal ones, have the enteric coated aspirin. What does it mean by the enteric coated aspirin? Aspirin on the whole, it's great to be an agent that helps declot or break down those clots, but it has been shown and linked to, if an increased use of it, especially in a stressful circumstance, could lead to an ulcer. So the enteric coated ones certainly help reduce the risk of ulceration or further bleeding. Every household should have aspirin, especially if there's a hypertensive case. You should also have something called GTN, your glycerol trinitrate. You place that under the tip of the tongue in the case of a heart attack. How much aspirin do you typically need to use in the case of a heart attack? We tend to use a high dose aspirin, not your typical low dose, which is the 81 milligrams. So in a case of the heart attack, once it's confirmed heart attack, you want to place or have that aspirin right away. Of course, please drink it with water. You're not going to try to have it just taking it in a exaggerated stressed moment like that. I've had some patients try to swallow the aspirin dry, and then that further causes complication. So make sure you have your emergency medications on standby. Aspirin is one of them.
All right, good to know. All right, of course, 627-3223-625-2257. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor. Folks, let's take this call here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doctor. I must compliment you for your comment here as to aspirin and your recommendation. I'm hypertensive. I've been advised by doctors to have aspirin handy, as you said, but it is allergic to me. See, no, I couldn't take aspirin. So could you give me a solution instead of aspirin? What can I take? Thank you.
I'm so sorry you're allergic to aspirin. You're one of the very small world that is allergic to aspirin. But have no fear, there are substitutes that can be utilized. There is one, the trade name is Brilanta. I'm trying to remember the pharmacological name. Let your healthcare professional, because they would look at the other medications you're on and ensure there's no contraindication to that medication. But yes, there are medications that we do use for our patients if they are indeed allergic to aspirin. So for all those who actually have an aspirin allergy out there, there is something you can use.
All right. Good day, doctor. My HDL is 30 and my LDL 78. Is that good or bad?
Those are great values. Now, let's talk about what our HDL and LDL is for those who are not too sure. Those are the components of the cholesterol, your high-density lipoproteins, and L, the low-density lipoproteins. The HDL are your good cholesterol. The LDL is the bad cholesterol. So 78 as an LDL, it is an excellent value. The HDL, we could go a little bit higher actually. That's one of the few blood values that we're okay with going a little bit higher. And just by exercising, you can indeed increase your HDLs.
All right, let's take this call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon. Calling from Pinal. Doc, I would like to know what would cause a sudden occlusion of a heart blood vessel, the important ones, the coronary vessels, and what would be a procedure, what would be a practice in terms of lifestyle, diet, medication that could reduce the risk of that. In an ordinary person like myself, 63 years old, with diabetes, but no problems that we have detected in that area so far, but I want to avoid these things. I am all for disaster. Disaster avoidance. So I'm looking ahead and I want to set myself up to not have that kind of event. What can I do going forward? Thank you.
Excellent mindset. So first and foremost, you are already winning, caller from Pinal, at 63 years old. Knowing that you're diabetic, that means you're ensuring your control there. Knowing that you're not hypertensive means that you are checking. What can you do? Three things I like to always talk about. Know your numbers, and you're already aware of that. Two, what you're eating. We really underestimate the foods that we eat and the beneficial effects or the harmful effects of those excessive processed foods, high sugary foods, high salt foods. Right here on the Lunchtime Doctor, we talked about the salt substitutes. If you do like that flavor in your food, you can substitute out that salt with herbs, with natural ingredients from the garden. So one, watch your salt content. Know your total value. Turn around the nutritious facts in everything you're eating and cook from as natural as possible. The more processed something is, the more chemicals it have. Two, make sure you're getting some level of exercise. The recommended value or the recommendation is at least 30 minutes of exercise 3 times a week. So we recommend 90 minutes of exercise. You can do that cumulatively, or you can do 15 minutes every 6 days or something like that. You want to get the heart rate in the aerobic zone. And getting the heart rate in the aerobic zone is when it goes a little bit higher, where you're feeling that blood pumping. And three, watch your hydration. Hydration is so important. Every single cell in the body has 70% water. But if we're not taking in that amount of water, then we're going to dehydrate ourselves. We're going to worsen if you're diabetic, worsen if you're hypertensive. You're going to cause migraines, headaches, feeling dizziness. So hydration is key. Four, your stress and sleep. Stress is one of those things that causes inflammatory mediators to circulate throughout the body. So as you age gracefully, and often I talk about my great grand uncle who's 105, even up to today, he finds reasons to laugh, to pray, and to ensure he de-stresses. And he often engages with his animals, with his pets. Find every day in your life some way of de-stressing and engaging with the community or engaging a loved one. And five, last but not least, in helping taking care of a loved one and their health, you're going to see how you take care of your health. So do it together, collaboratively as a team, be it your loved one, your partner, your children, in taking care of your health together. Exercise together, eat well together. You will see how each other will help each other. Hope that answers the question.
All right, 12:35 on time. You listen to the Lunchtime, Dr. Folks. Let's take this call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, doctor. This morning my pressure was 158/92. Right now, I'll take half of the tablet in the half in April, along to 108/76. What I noticed, my body started dripping. So I noticed that the pressure tablet causing the pressure to go very low, and then my body will start dripping. So that's why I take half today. So I don't know if I should stop the tablet or what.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, what I firmly believe is when that blood pressure goes high, and then there's a instantaneously drop. So it's not necessarily taking the tablet, it's finding the right balance. Okay, so what we need to do is make sure, one, you're noting down the values as in the morning time when you wake up, so you're resting blood pressure when you wake up, and probably at the end of the night. It may be that the medications need to adjust, and that's okay. Also, make sure you're not just taking the tablet. It must be with a proper meal. Even though you're not diabetic, persons tend to think, well, the only way they could take a tablet is just with a meal, as if they're diabetic. Make sure you're ensuring you have a proper meal. And of course, maintain the hydration. The stress of having a high blood pressure can also make you feel weakened. So it's a whole number of factors that we look at. But next time you go to your healthcare provider, ensure you let them know these values, and your medications may need to be adjusted. Hope that answers your question.
All right, good afternoon, Doc. Is it safe to cut tablets and use, for example, if you have 100 milligrams and want to cut it in half?
So yes, it is safe, but I would suggest get a proper tablet cutter. And yes, there are those. It's available in the pharmacies. That way, there isn't, when you're cutting it or trying to break it, it chips and most of your tablet move out or you lose it. What is recommended, however, is you utilize the medication in its complete form. So you're really only going to be cutting it if it's recommended by the healthcare professional, or if you have no other choice. Hope that answers the question.
All right, folks, 625-2257, 627-3223, Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Doc. Yeah, I have a problem, doctor. I was supposed to do an angiogram at Cardiac Hospital in San Fernando, and I submitted my form to them, right? And then my situation seemed to be urgent, and I think they have to wait too long for that. I went to a private doctor, and they're not too sure what type of angiogram that I supposed to do. Is it the A-point or the egg? I'm not sure, doctor. And they understand neither. I also have an irregular heartbeat and a leak in one of my valves. Direct me, please.
Thank you so much for letting us know. Now, I find that information very perturbing, in that there's typically a specific angiogram for those health concerns. So once you're seeing a proper qualified healthcare professional, they'll definitely be able to recommend that angiogram. Unfortunately, these angiograms are not always available in the public health institutions, simply because of the overwhelming amount of patients that are scheduled for angiograms. It is crucially important. If you've been recommended to do an angiogram, there must be some sort of clot, or as you mentioned, there's those leaky valves. So it's important that we get an idea of the ejection fraction and also know what is the structure or the flow of the blood through the heart. Again, if a doctor told you they don't know the kind of angiogram, I would definitely be very concerned. I'll seek a next opinion, a second opinion, because any qualified healthcare professional will know exactly what to recommend. Hope that answers your question.
Okay, doctor. Good day, doctor. I am constipated. I use Metamucil for fiber, but when I use the bathroom, it floors. What is the problem? I have high blood pressure. Is that the cause?
So the high blood pressure won't be the cause of the constipation. Metamucil certainly would help. That's one of those high fiber supplements. What is most important, even before the Metamucil, let's look at, and we talked about this last day on the program, let's look at what you're eating. Are you incorporating high fiber meals? We can get fiber from those vegetables, from spinach, from cauliflower, from broccoli. We can get fiber even from oats. So there are tons of sources, natural sources of fiber. Yes, I'm happy that you're able to use the powder, the Metamucil. It may be adjusted, the amount, the frequency of it. And of course, let's not forget your hydration. Crucially important. Here's where I will introduce to you probably prune juice, because that certainly helps reduce the effects of constipation. The only medication that you'll need to be mindful of is if you're taking any painkillers that has codeine in it. That's one of the unfortunate medications. The side effect is constipation. So if you're taking that medication, then certainly let's watch, let's adjust where we can, and let's make sure you're watching what you're eating.
Okay, of course, 627-3223-625-2257. Remember, you can send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello, good day to all. Can you explain this for me? Hypertension is 140 over 90 under age 40 and 160 over 95 over age 40. Can you explain?
No problem. So you shared three values. The 140 or 90, that's the blood pressure. And then the last value you mentioned is the heart rate. Both of the values, the 140 or 90 and the 140 or 95, are indeed elevated. If you're not on any sort of medications, I suggest you share with a caregiver, a loved one, let them take you to the health center, because you also sound like you may need a little bit of support there in ensuring you get to the health center or get to a healthcare professional. Both of those values are indeed elevated. If you are already on medication, let's make sure you're taking it today, please, because that 140 or 90 is definitely elevated.
All right. Got a question here. All right. Thank you very much, sir. Let's take a call here, line two. Oh, we lost that one. Sorry. 70 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor once again. Hi, Doctor. What do you recommend to use for ADHD for a 13-year-old who is on Tegretol? All right, just to keep him less hyperactive.
Okay, so when it comes to ADHD, there's several medications that can be prescribed. With a 13-year-old, I don't see that just the healthcare professional will certainly have gone through a number of investigations, but I do hope it is a pediatrician that recommended the specific medication. Yes, we do recommend Tegretol. We do recommend a number of other medications for ADHD, but keep in mind, it must be by a pediatric, that is a child doctor. A normal healthcare professional should not be recommending ADHD medications for a young one. I do hope that answers your question. That's a relevant medication that we use all the time. Keep in mind, for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, we also engage a number of occupational therapy and other therapies to help manage, because it's a behavior change process.
Hope that take a call here. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Yeah, presenter, doctor, pleasant good afternoon. Doctor, I have a question for you. What benefit or benefits one could get from eating almond nuts? I will listen off the air. I just want to get an insight on that, please. Thanks for the opportunity once more.
No problem. So in terms of the almond nuts benefits, we just talked about the high fiber. Almonds is one of those nuts that is valuable in those nutrients. You'll get your fiber. You'll also get some of the micronutrients like magnesium and vitamin E. In fact, what is a single, let's talk about what's a single serving of almonds. A single serving of almonds is no more than 8 almonds. So please, not the whole pack of almonds that one may see, but a single serving of almonds is quite beneficial. You'll also get some micronutrients of phosphorus and calcium, so it's good for your bone health as well. But let's not go and do those salted almonds or the sugar-coated almonds, because then you'll defeat the use or the health benefits of the almonds.
All right. And what about for men in terms of testosterone?
Yeah, definitely. Almonds will certainly help, because it helps within that micronutrient of your magnesium. So in terms of building testosterone, there are other foods that help tremendously. We talked about some of the seafoods in particular. Salmon is one of those. Broccoli and any of your green leafy vegetables are another. We always talk about trying to build certain chemicals in the body. Testosterone, foods that can eat that is not only your seafood, but let's ensure that you want to add, say, some of, hold on, let me just pull this up here, the dark leafy green vegetables. Great source of magnesium and great source of testosterone. So you know that spinach in the backyard? Popeye was right on the button, knowing exactly what to do. Avocados is another great source of testosterone. And for breakfast, eggs is a great source of testosterone and even another micronutrient called selenium. So those are just a few of the examples that we can include in our daily diet to build testosterone.
Okay, let's take this call here. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good afternoon. I am 63 years of age. I was every day for 30 minutes.
Do I still have to take the aspirin? So it depends on what the blood pressure values are, what your last checkup said. I don't have a proper investigation, a proper examination of you in front of me, so I won't be able to give that definitive answer or not. It depends on the quality of your health, and it depends on your risk factors. We look at family risk factors. If there's a strong cardiovascular history and And your blood pressures are elevated, your cholesterol levels are elevated, then certainly we would want you to have that aspirin. While walking is excellent, remember, we look at the holistic needs. We look at it from a multidisciplinary approach. So I hope that answers your question. We'll need a little bit more information before I make that particular recommendation.
All right, folks, 12 minutes away from 1 o'clock. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. My RBC is 5.89. My HGB is 18.3. What can I do to get it down? Because I am waiting to do an operation for a valve change to my heart.
So in the case where the hemoglobin is way too elevated, in this case, because you mentioned that it's as high as 18, there may be a case of a hematochromatosis. And yes, there are medications that can be recommended for high hemoglobin. There is something, certain medications that will help exchange it. There's even processes that can help exchange it. If you are awaiting surgery, then your healthcare professional who would recommend the surgery can also recommend those processes. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good day, Dr. Sophia. Somebody just saying there, good day. Also, doctor, it's very hot outside. What are your views on drinking cold water? Also, for men, drinking water out of a plastic bottle.
So I'm not a fan, as you all know, of the cold water. Let's try to stay to the lukewarm water. Cold water can be rehydrated, no problem. If you feel comfortable with it, I am not against it. It's just if I have the option, we tend to use just normal lukewarm water. Nothing is wrong with your plastic bottles. These new plastic bottles have been innovative. They've removed some of the chemical ingredients that would the older versions of plastic bottles have had. If you have the opportunity to walk with your own water bottle, then you want to conserve and, of course, reduce the harmful effects of just general plastics in the environment. Try to recycle that plastic bottle rather than throwing it in a normal bin. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good afternoon, doctor. Is a roasted almonds safe for an elderly with diabetes and high blood pressure?
So yes, roasted almonds are okay, but again, everything in moderation. Try not to add the salt to the roasted almonds and keep it within a certain amount. Hope that answers the question.
All right, somebody sent a beautiful picture there of their breakfast. Good day, doctor. This was my breakfast this morning, and most mornings it is boiled eggs, steamed okra, avocado and cucumbers, sprinkled with cayenne pepper, sliced black pepper, and a teacup bay leaf tea, no sugar. Is eating boiled eggs every morning too much?
So let's deal with that beautiful breakfast, sir. Excellent, great job. Having boiled eggs every day is not too much. You just want to stay to your proportion size. You're balancing it out with your vegetables, with your fruit, with your fiber, so you're pretty much okay. If, however, you have a high cholesterol, then we certainly will adjust the frequency of having those eggs. But if your cholesterol levels are normal, then I'm A-okay with that breakfast.
All right, folks, once again, you listen to The Lunchtime Doctor, Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangi 106.1, Sky 99.5, and of course, Vibe City 105 FM, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, your WhatsApp messages, 306-1065. Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. This is my second call to doctor. Doctor, I've already mentioned earlier how many foods are laden with fiber. A nutrition once told me that okras are laden with fiber, but I didn't hear you make that mention. What's your opinion, please?
So yes, okras are definitely laden with fiber, and my apologies for not sharing about okra. That may just be my personal bias influence there. So thanks for that checkup. okras are excellent. If, however, I can get this doctor to eat the okras, I'll also benefit from having that inclusion of fiber in my diet.
All right, great. You should try some nice boiled okras. I like that, just like that. All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask the doctor a question, please.
You're live on air.
Yes. I've been having problems when I perspire, itching, scratching, and fine buttons on my skin. Would you recommend anything for that, please?
Definitely. So it may be on the skin, there's some sort of associated fungal infection. The body, when there's a hyperhidrosis or that sweating excessively, may also then lead to this little fungal infection. There are over-the-counter medications, antifungals that can help. And of course, you want to continue with your normal skin hygiene, your deodorant. You want to, if possibly, if you can, probably increase the number of baths during the day just to help keep the skin clean and hydrated. A moisturizer can also help, because when the skin is overly dry, that may mean the skin needs to compensate, and that's where there's the excessive amount of perspiration. So let's look at the underlying cause, improve, add probably a level of a over-the-counter antifungal medication, or if you can, just add one more probably bath in there to see if that can help as well. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon. I want to ask the doctor a question. Is it that coconut oil and coconut milk, is it good on your cholesterol using at a regular basis or not?
So when it comes to coconut oil, definitely that has, cooking there, it does have a high amount of cholesterol with coconut oil. We do recommend the sesame oil. We recommend the extra virgin oil. If, however, you're using small amounts of coconut oil, then that's okay. But generally, yes, there is a degree or a high number of cholesterol associated to that using the coconut oil.
Okay, good. 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course our WhatsApp message is 306-1065. Hi, Doctor. What do you recommend for a trigger finger pain? I use the computer and I'm on my phone a lot.
So first and foremost, we need to adjust the ergonomics. Once there's that trigger finger, then it's only going to worsen. You definitely need to either change, and yes, I'm saying that, reposition the laptop to ensure that your hands are indeed in the correct positioning so that you can still continue to type, but in some level of comfort. There is that gel pad that you can rest right next to your keyboard, be it a laptop or a normal desk computer, and that gives the hands a place to rest, especially at the points of the wrists, which reduces the compression of the nerve there that elicits that trigger finger. You also want to engage in a host of exercises, because you want to strengthen those muscles there and reduce that nerve compression. There is, of course, over-the-counter medications, NSAIDs. Your healthcare professional could prescribe stronger medications for the trigger finger pain in particular. There are times when we may need to go in and do surgery. So please, let's start with those exercises, the physiotherapy, the home ergonomics, even in the office ergonomics, that you can adjust to ensure that it doesn't worsen. But no, once there is a trigger finger, it will worsen if you don't put some measures in once right away.
3 minutes away from 1 o'clock, our final lunchtime, Doctor, for today. The week has flown so fast. It's Wednesday already. So we have just about calls for about two or three more questions. Let's take this one. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good day. I was asking the doctor is it recommended for like anxiety or is like, because I think it's natural. Is it any good? Thank you.
Oh my, sir, I really didn't hear clearly.
Yeah, we did not hear your question clearly, so you're kind of breaking up.
Very muffled. You can either call back or send us a message to the station. So yes, we're down to the last 3 minutes. This is the month of May, first week of May. Now, on Sunday is Mother's Day. And the next time I join you all is Monday. On the next Sunday is Mother's Day. So I hope all of our listeners are thinking about a health-related gift for your mom. Give your mom some sort of gift of wellness, of self-care, making sure she gets that time to prioritize her health. Next week, we're going to talk about some of those great things you can do to ensure your mother is well appreciated, especially when it comes to a gift of self-care.
All right, that's pretty good. Yes, Mother's Day is coming up. All right, just about two more questions quickly. Doctor, what could be the reason for someone losing weight and still eating everything? What could be the cause?
Now, that'd be something most persons would want to be able to eat and still lose weight. However, in a case like that, let's get a little serious there. I'll want to get checking your thyroid values. Even a diabetic patient, one of the signs and symptoms that we notice is that they tend to lose weight rapidly. So those are your two most common causes. It's most likely a metabolic cause, but let's get it checked out if you're concerned about the weight being lost.
One more question there. Good evening, doctor. I am getting a tingling feeling on my right thigh. I am hypertensive.
Yes, so that definitely means there's some sort of neuropathy setting in. A neuropathy means nerve damage, nerve endings are being affected. Please, let's get that addressed right away. It may be your blood pressures are not well controlled, or it may be that there's some sort of stenosis or constriction in the lower lumbar area. So let's get it checked out, because if you're feeling the tingling going down the legs, then it will only get worse.
All right, Doc, it's just about, well, that's it. 1 o'clock on yeah. the nose.
Again, as always, I'm so appreciative to everyone who sends in your question, who engages us here on the program, because you are asking that question is going to help someone else when they hear the answer. We hope every single day you do something for your health. Remember, you can be the person saving your own life. Be safe out there. My gratitude to you all, my listeners, to all of our callers, and of course to the entire TBC network that make this program happen every single week. Be safe.
Thank you there very much, Doc. Of course, catch you next week, Monday. You've been listening, folks, to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.